Praised be Jesus and Mary. In the collect of this Mass, we prayed, O God, who willed that St. John the Baptist should go ahead of your Son both in his birth and in his death, grant that as he died a martyr for truth and justice, we too may fight hard for the confession of what you teach. And the liturgy today also calls the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist a privilege. He was privileged to bear him supreme witness by the shedding of his blood. It's a good opportunity today to ask ourselves, if we were given that same privilege, would we accept it? If we too had to fight and fight hard unto death for the confession of Christ, would we fight or would we flee like cowards? We ask this question today because it's relevant. It's relevant to world events today. All of us here, not only probably, but certainly have heard by now, have even seen graphic images of the terrible persecution of Christians in Syria and in Iraq at the hands of ISIS or ISIL or whatever they are calling themselves now. And a similar persecution is being promised to us Christians here in the West, starting in Rome with the conquest of Rome, and then in all of the Western world, ISIS is promising to spread such a persecution. Women raped, killed, mass executions, children cut in half, people being buried alive, crucified, gruesome beheadings. Almost impossible not to exclaim with Pope Benedict XVI, if you remember his Regensburg address when he was citing Manuel II, Palaeologus, "Show me just what Muhammad brought that was new, and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread the sword by the faith that he preached." So can we generalize and say that all Muslims are evil? No, of course not. We don't want to do that, especially not in a moment of heightened emotions such as is the present moment, especially when we're all under a deep impression of the graphic images we're seeing almost daily on the news. Can we at least ask ourselves, well, this Islam, is it a religion of peace or not? What's up? Well, it's probably best not to do so in the context of a homily. And besides, mainstream media have taken away our capability of affronting such controversial questions directly and with clarity of mind. What we can say, however, is that ISIS or Al-Qaeda or the Muslim Brotherhood or whatever militant Muslim sect, which is active and gruesomely so active in the world, is not really doing anything which is not found in the Quran. Just to give you an example, chapter or book 8 of the Quran, verses 59 through 60, "And let not those who disbelieve think that they will escape." Who is it that disbelieves? We Christians, Jews, anybody who's not a Muslim. "Let not those who disbelieve think that they will escape. Prepare against them whatever you are able of power and of war, by which you may terrify the enemy of Allah." And that's what's being done in the Middle East, a war of terror and bloodshed. "Prepare what you can of power and war against the enemies of Allah and your enemy and others besides them whom you do not know but whom Allah knows. And whatever you spend in the cause of Allah, guess what? It will be repaid fully to you and you will not be wronged. You have a paradise of lust and of gluttony for all eternity." Nor is it anything, if we want to be honest, the questions we can answer, and these are honest answers we can give to these questions, nor is it anything that Muhammad himself did not give an example of. 77 times he led victorious armies into battle, savage armies into cruel battles of aggression, and he himself enjoyed having his enemies beheaded before his eyes as he sat watching. But we won't go into difficult questions like that today. What we can say is that 1,400 years of Islamic history have shown that not a single century has passed without similar bloodsheds, similar bloodbaths being perpetrated in some part of the world in the name of Allah. If we were given a similar privilege to have to witness to Christ unto death, would we accept it as a privilege? Would we be up to it? The death of our brothers and sisters in Christ, among whom there are certainly martyrs, those who being able to deny Christ do not do so. Those who testify to Christ all the way until death, into a gruesome and barbaric death, their deaths, which we are able to see, which we are privileged to see, are for us a most edifying example of heroic faith today, which we need now, and which we will need even more so in the future. Why? Whether to face the Islamic threat here at home, I don't know, I don't want to speculate, or to face the homosexual persecution at the hands of LGBT militant lobbies, which they are preparing for us, or to face anything else that might come, we need heroic faith. The temptation, if it comes, will certainly be great. It just takes a word, just one blasphemy. Allah is one and Muhammad is his prophet, in order to be left in peace. No being raped, no being cut in half, no being buried alive, no being crucified, no being beheaded. We'll leave you in peace. Just say the blasphemy. The temptation will be great. But if we're wimps in our faith right now, in times of peace, when little is being asked of us, if we want to be honest with ourselves, how can we expect to be strong when persecution comes? How can we expect to be strong to the point of giving our lives when persecution comes? Archbishop Amel Nona, he's the Chaldean Patriarch of Mosul, now exiled in Kurdistan, in a recent interview said words which at first thought, well, let's just go right into his interview. He gave an interview about a month ago, and he came out with the following strong words, strong statements. He said, "Our sufferings today are the prelude of those you, European and Western Christians, will also suffer in the near future. I lost my diocese. The physical setting of my apostolate has been occupied by Islamic radicals who want us converted or dead. But my community is still alive. Please try to understand us," the bishop goes on to say. "Please try to understand us. Your liberal and democratic principles are worth nothing here. You must consider again our reality in the Middle East, because you are welcoming in your countries an ever-growing number of Muslims. Also, you are in danger. You must take strong and courageous decisions, even at the cost of contradicting your principles. You think all men are equal, but that is not true." He's trying to get into the mindset of Muslims. "You think all men are equal, you say that, but that is not true for Muslims. Islam does not say that all men are equal. Your values are not their values. And if you do not understand this soon enough, you will become the victims of the enemy you have welcomed in your own home." This is a man who has spent his whole life in Iraq living with Muslims. Will Bishop Nona's words prove true? Will Islam turn on us in the West? Well, we hope not. We pray not. Quite the contrary, we pray for their conversion. But what kind of Christianity do they come in contact with in the West? Christianity, which is dying, agonizing, which is destroying itself from within. And even Herod, and if we want to ask ourselves that question, will Bishop Nona's words prove true? Well, even Herod let himself be pressured into having St. John the Baptist beheaded, though he did not want to do so. And radical Islam is clear about one thing. If anyone still has any illusions about trying to be a moderate Muslim, he better either radicalize or get ready to die with the rest of the infidels. And there have been Muslims put to death because they still had that illusion of being moderate Muslims, of trying to defend Christians who are suffering at the hands of Islamic radicals. The message is clear. Either Muslims radicalize, or they should get ready to die with the rest of the infidels. And in Europe, of circa the 700 million aging, desperate, feminized, indifferent, godless inhabitants, perhaps as many as 80 million are Muslims, maybe fewer, maybe more. Different statistics give different numbers. But while Germans, for example, while Germans are taking to their streets their pink gay pride tanks to fight for homosexual rights, to pervert their society even more, Muslims are watching, and how? With contempt and with disgust, and rightly so. Are they all bad? Are all Muslims in Europe bad? Well, let's avoid these difficult questions. What we can say, however, is it is certain that right now, as we speak, British, German, and outside of Europe, Australian, and most likely American citizens, American Muslims, are already fighting in the ranks of ISIS and of similar organizations. or they have simply taken it upon themselves to kill their European or American neighbors at home, right where they live. In the United States, of the 350 million inhabitants, not much better than the, morally not much better than our European neighbors, perhaps close to 8 million, maybe 10 million are Muslims. Should this frighten us? Well, we probably all remember 12 years ago the Beltway killings perpetrated by two young jihadist Muslims, American Muslims, in the Washington area. The brutal killing last year of a British soldier on a London street, killed with machetes on a London street in 2013 in England. We all probably know, or perhaps, you know, a few days ago, an American Muslim from Seattle confessed to having killed four people. Why? To protest American warfare, the American war on terrorism in the Middle East. And we could go on with examples. One thing is certain, 1,400 years of Islamic history has shown that as soon as the Muslim population grows in strength and in numbers in any part of the world, a bloodbath is inevitable. And if any Muslims have the illusion of being able to live as moderate Muslims, they will die with the other infidels. So the question remains, if we Christians are not ready to practice our faith heroically, constantly, in a time of peace, how can we expect to remain faithful in times of persecution? And we do not know how much peace we have left, if we can still call it peace what we're living. We do not know how much of it there is left until the very end. St. John the Baptist enjoyed the favor of Herod. He was in prison, but he enjoyed his favor. Herod enjoyed listening to him. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, this godless slave of his own vices and passions, without a conscience, without a backbone, decided to have him beheaded. Why? To save his own reputation, to save his own skin. We have to pray then. We have to pray to Our Lady that just as Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Victory, has given us victory over Islamic invasions and persecutions in the past, she might do so still today. But we must pray, and we have to remember an unfortunate fact that in the past, it unfortunately has always taken battles and martyrs to secure victory and peace. Belgrade in 1456, led by St. John Capistran, Lepanto in 1571, led by the Rosary Crusade under St. Pius V. And how much do we need a Rosary Crusade now in our day and age to protect Christianity from destruction from within and from without? A Rosary Crusade to protect Christianity, Christendom, from a destruction from within and from without. Alb Royal in 1601, led by St. Lawrence of Brindisi. Vienna in 1683, led by Blessed Mark of Aviano. Sometimes centuries of battles, like in Spain, to overcome and expel the aggressor. Do we want that to happen? Don't understand me wrong. No. Do we want more bloodshed? No, of course not. We pray for peace, and we leave the means for achieving it to Our Lady, for Our Lady to decide. And we keep ready and watchful, armed with God's good grace, with faith, hope, and charity. Of St. John the Baptist, one doctor of the church said, to endure temporal agonies for the sake of the truth, for the sake of Christ, was not a heavy burden for men such as John. May Our Lady make us Christians, men, women, Christians such as John, strong in that Christian faith, ready always and for anything. After the example also of so many modern-day martyrs which we are privileged to see, ready to fight hard for the confession of what Christ teaches under whatever persecutor might come, ready, if necessary, ready even to accept death for him, death for Christ, as a privilege. Our Lady of Victories, Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us.